Please turn with me in God's Word to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 39. We'll take a reading from verse 11 down to verse 20. As I said, we've been going through the life of Joseph, and we will take a wee bit of a break maybe soon anyway, but from that study. But we have looked in the last number of weeks at Joseph's temptations and then his triumph over temptation. Then we took a few weeks to think of him being falsely accused. And now we find he is in prison. And I have a number of messages, a number of points that I want to preach that will give us a good four-week series of Joseph's time in prison. And I trust that every single point will be a blessing to our hearts, not only practically, but above all as we get to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today is the first a message maybe in about four or five of Joseph's time in prison. We'll read verse 11 down to verse 20. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within, and she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing. Really, the next number of weeks, we will focus really from verse 20 on through into chapter 40 for Joseph's time in prison. But with God's word open before us, we will look to God now for his help. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we thank thee already for the lessons that we have learned in the life of Joseph. We thank thee for thy presence and for thy help. We thank thee for the great example that Joseph is to every believer, how to live for God in an impure day, in an impure age, how to live for God when trials and temptations come our way. And Father, we thank thee even above Joseph. We've been able to look to our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We pray, O God, again this day, as we enter into Joseph's time in prison, O Lord, we pray that there will be those lessons for our own life, and again lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rock of ages, our hope and help in a time of trouble. Speak to believers, encourage hearts, save the unsaved today, in Jesus' name. Amen. When Joseph was tempted, then falsely accused, of committing a serious crime, Joseph's master, as we read, took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. The word prison before you is the word meaning dungeon, used there in Genesis chapter 41, verse 14, when we read, when Joseph is brought out of it, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. The word dungeon in other portions of God's word refers to a pit, translated as a well or a hole. As any dungeon, it would have been dull, depressing, and a dark place. Furthermore, this prison is attached to Potiphar's house, or very close to it, as chapter 40, verse 3 indicates, where it says, "And he put them," the other two men, "in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound." Joseph was imprisoned because he honored God. And there is a lesson for our hearts, believer, that when trials come, they often come after times of blessing. And when they do come after times of blessing, trials come straight after, straight away, one after the other. In a sense, trials are in line, waiting to meet you. Trials come in many different forms, each taking their turn to have their way in our lives. For Joseph, it was to be in Egypt. It was a time of temptation, then to be falsely accused, and then to be put in prison, though he was innocent. And while it is true, there are some believers who are called to enter prison literally as Joseph did, yet all believers will go through a prison experience, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, medically, financially, into a prison experience where it seems to be a lonely place, maybe a dark place, maybe a dull place, maybe a depressing place. We all go through those experiences. We all have our prison experiences at all points of life. It's a dark, a dull, distressing, and draining time. It is a place in our life, a frame of mind that you don't want to be in, where you want to get out of, and where you never want to be in again. And this is where we find Joseph. And maybe this is where we find you as well today. Maybe today in your life could be classified as a prison experience, a night season in your life, bound by troubles and by trials, one after the other. This is how the children of Israel felt on one occasion. But notice the words that were given to them. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, the prophet said, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." And we rejoice even in those occasions where the people of God in days gone by, in their troubled times, in their distressing times, in their prison experiences, God sent a man with a message. God sent a man to speak a word of season to them that was weary. And the children of Israel at that time, it seemed they were walking in darkness. It seemed there was no light. We would use the expression, no light at the end of the tunnel. And maybe that's how you feel in your prison experience, the trouble, the trial that you're going through right now, that distressing time, that challenging time. It seems there's no way out. It seems very, very long. It's going through a dark tunnel where you seem to think, where is the light at the end? And you say, "Preacher, what should I do?" Well, let me say, the answer is not, "Preacher, I cannot come to church for the next number of weeks." The answer is not, "Preacher, should I shut my Bible? Preacher, should I stop praying?" No. The answer is what God's servant said. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Keep depending and keep trusting in the Lord. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Keep looking to the Lord, because Psalm 112 verse 4 says, "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." And Christ is that light in a dark place. And he comes, as he does, to his people and to meet them at the point of their need. Just as the disciples went through nighttime trials and troubles when they were on the sea, how the Lord came to them and had a word for them and calmed the storm. Trust God in the prison experiences. Trust God in the dungeons of life, because he will guide you and he will bring you through for his own honor and his own glory. In this prison or dungeon, the Lord is with Joseph. And you be assured, through your prison experience, the Lord is with you. And so today, and over the next number of weeks, we want to take this thought, this theme, Joseph's time in prison, and learn what exactly happened in Joseph's time in prison. What was it all about? And may there be many practical and personal lessons for us. And above all, may we see Christ in the midst of it all. Notice today, first of all, Joseph's time in prison was a painful time. Notice it was painful. Three simple thoughts. Because of the shame he endured. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. Joseph had been shamed by others. Prison was a part of his humiliation. The word bound means to be confined, means to be enclosed to a certain place. And you can imagine Joseph, this trustworthy servant, this man who Potiphar had given into his hands all the affairs of his household. Now Joseph is bound as a prisoner and now led to the prison. You can imagine the shame. You can imagine the dishonor from onlookers. The guilty one, the shameful one. Joseph is securely tied and he's brought where the prisoners were. And we looked at that last week, didn't we? He is now viewed and treated as guilty, though he was innocent. And we brought those lessons relating to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 105, verse 18, it says of this account of Joseph, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. His feet are chained. His feet are fettered. His feet are bound. This same word, fetters, is used in Psalm 149, verse 8. It means to bind with chains, to bind the king with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. So Joseph is bound. Joseph is chained. Joseph is fettered. He's in prison, falsely accused. His name, his reputation has been degraded. He's bearing the shame. He's disgraced. He's dishonored by those around him. And he suffers the reproach. He suffers the insult. Even Potiphar will no longer identify Joseph as his slave, as his servant. Joseph is now viewed and treated by Potiphar as a guilty prisoner. However, Joseph endures the shame because Joseph knows, as he said in chapter 40, verse 15, when he speaks to the butler and the baker, here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. And so Joseph knows that he's there suffering for righteous sake. He's done nothing in and of himself. He's not guilty by any crime that he has done. He's not suffering for himself, but we know in the bigger picture, he's there because he's going to be the one to save the nation. But Joseph did not allow the shame to stop him living for God. Joseph didn't allow the prison to be a place where he would waste away. Rather, he acknowledged he was in the center of God's will. The shame that Joseph endured leads us to consider the shame that of a greater than Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the shame that he endured. Because we learn the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, of Jesus Christ, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Words of Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, pointing to Jesus Christ, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And that word shame means to disgrace, means to dishonor. It means to be ashamed of. And so there Christ, the people were ashamed of him. He was ashamed to them. Remember he said in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. And because he spoke those words, the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, took up stones to stone him. Why? Because John chapter 10, verse 33 says, because that thou being a man, makest thyself God. Of course, Jesus is God. And he preached and proclaimed who he was. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 of Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Again, Mark chapter 2, verse 7. The people, when Christ said to the man that he would forgive his sins, they said, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And the whole point is, Jesus is God. And that's why he could say these words. But because of that, they dishonored him. They disgraced him. They were ashamed of him. He was a man, yet he never ceased to be God. He is the God-man, God and man, in two distinct natures, in one blessed person forever. Christ's two natures, his humanity and deity, are not half and half, not mixed, not blended in, not confused. He is not man sometimes and God sometimes. Rather, at all times, he is the God-man. And so for this Jew to claim such that he was the promised Savior, the promised Messiah, the one God manifest in the flesh, the one who'd come to dwell among men, the one who'd come to save his people from their sin. They were ashamed of him. They dishonored him. And they accused him and then brought him to the place of prison, where he was sentenced and then brought to Calvary, where he would bear the death of the cross. And Paul says about all this, the mockings, the despisings, the spitting, the false accusation, the punches over the head. Paul said that Christ, despising the shame. The word despising means to think little of, or to think nothing of. He thought little of the shame. He thought little of the disgrace. He thought little of the dishonor. Why? Because he was going to the cross to redeem his people. He was going to the cross to purchase eternal redemption for sinners given to him by the Father. Christ's only vision was to honor God, to purchase redemption. And because of that, he despised the shame. He thought little of it. Again, Joseph is in prison because he refused a situation that would cause him to commit great wickedness and sin against God. And he's in prison and he endures the shame. He's bound. He's treated guilty. He's treated as a prisoner. He's locked away with other criminals. And he despises the shame. He took little of it because he knew he was there in the will of God to honor God's will. And so, believer, as we live on to Christ, we bear the offense of the cross. We defend the gospel. As you teach and believe and practice in your life that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, when you proclaim that life is precious, when you proclaim that God made male and female, and marriage is one male in union with one female, and there is no confusion, you when you come to a church that preaches the truth and you give out gospel invitations and people know and hear the gospel from your lips. Maybe those who did not know you before now are ashamed of you. I say to you, consider Jesus Christ. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the man of Calvary, the one who was doing the will of God, the one who came in the fullness of time, who was delight to do the will of God. He despised the shame. He took little of it because his sole purpose was to exalt his Father. And therefore, believer, when you live that way, that's Christ-likeness. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. He will bless his people with peace. He will never be ashamed of them. And one day, believer, we shall rule and we shall reign with him. Joseph's time in prison is a painful time. He endured the shame. Notice Joseph's time in prison is painful because of the sufferings he experienced. Again, Genesis 39, verse 20. They put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Chapter 40, verse 3. The prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Again, Psalm 105, verse 18. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Joseph's time in prison is painful because of the sufferings he endured or experienced both physically and spiritually. He suffered in body and he suffered in soul. Notice, they hurt his feet with fetters. In that Psalm 105, again verse 18, whose feet they hurt with fetters. That word hurt, it means to afflict. It means to deal harshly. The same word is used to describe how the Egyptians treated the children of Israel when they were their prisoners. We read of this prophesied in Genesis chapter 15, verse 3. The Lord said to Abraham, "Thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs," referring to Egypt, "and shall serve them, and they shall afflict or hurt them for 400 years. Again, Exodus chapter 1, verse 11, when this time was fulfilled. Therefore, did they set over them, that's the Egyptians over the children of Israel, taskmasters to afflict them or to hurt them or to deal with them harshly with their burdens. And so Potiphar, he deals harshly with Joseph. He is afflicted with chains, chains that left their mark. His feet is wounded and his feet is bruised. Joseph is wounded. Joseph is hurt. Joseph is afflicted. There are marks on his body, marks on his feet. He's wounded because, remember, God's purpose is for him to save the nation. And therefore, this is the way the Lord has led. And do you see a direct link to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ? The pain he endured in his body. Again, Psalm 22 we read today and we looked at on Wednesday evening. A psalm of the cross. A prophecy pointing to Christ's sufferings on the cross. What does the Bible say? In Psalm 22, verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. See the reference to the Savior's feet. His feet are wounded. His feet are pierced. His feet are hurt. His feet are afflicted. He bore the affliction of the cross because when he appeared, he bore the affliction of the cross because, remember, whenever he appeared to his disciples, remember in John chapter 20, and he came to his disciples, what did he do in John chapter 20? And then also in Luke chapter 24, not only did he show unto them his hands, not only did he speak to them, but we read Luke 24 verse 40, he showed them his hands and his feet. He showed them the wounds. He showed them the bruising. He showed them all he endured for them, the sufferings on their behalf, because what Christ did was to go to the cross on their behalf to purchase their salvation. And he had to be wounded. He had to be bruised. And so as Joseph, they hurt his feet, so Christ, they've pierced his feet. Again, Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Joseph suffers as part of God's eternal purpose to save the nation. That is what is in view in the life of Joseph. So Christ suffers as part of God's purpose to save sinners out of every nation, to call a people unto himself. Believer, your prison experience may be a time of physical suffering. Maybe you suffer in the body. You have a thorn in the flesh, like Paul, a physical limitation. Maybe you have headaches. Maybe you have back pains, leg pains. Maybe you have long COVID or something that doctors can't even detect. And there are severe pains, severe sores, even like Job. When Job described the ball, the boils on his body, and he said in Job 30, verse 17, my bones are pierced in me in the night season. Be assured, the Lord knows about each and every one of his people. He is the head. We are the body. We are in union with him and one with him. He took our humanity onto himself. He suffered in body in order to identify with his people. He was afflicted for you, on behalf of you. He went before you. And there is not a pain, a prison experience that you go through that he does not feel and he does not know about. There's not a tear that you shed that he does not see. There's not a cry that you cry out that he does not hear. At any time and every time of suffering, no matter how severe and how long it is, our Savior sympathizes and he sustains his people. As we see through the life of Joseph, though Joseph's physical sufferings were severe, yet the Lord was with him. And believer, the Lord is with you as you suffer in body. But Joseph also suffered in soul, spiritually. Interesting to note the words, Psalm 105, again, verse 18, said he was led in iron. If you have a margin in your Bible, and again, we've made reference to this before, it is that middle index in your Bible, gives you the Hebrew in the Old Testament or the Greek in the New. It reads this way, his soul came onto Aaron. And the Hebrew, it's Hebrew poetry, Hebrew imagery to speak of the soul, the inner man. It goes beyond which is physical. It goes to what is unseen by man and known to God. And so Joseph suffers inwardly. He suffers in soul. And it was only known to God, who alone searches the heart. So the Lord could look right through and could know what Joseph was going through. He knew the heartbreak of his dear servant. And that is striking, because while man afflicted him physically, yet the Lord knew it and the Lord permitted it all. And that ought to strike us. Everything in Joseph's life is not out of mistake, but everything has been permitted and authorized by the Lord, all a part of his redemptive purposes. And again, what a thought we have of the sufferings of Christ, because they too, as he suffered in body, Christ also suffered in soul, spiritually. But the cross was not something gone out of mistake. The cross was all in the plan and the will of God. We learn in Isaiah 53, verse 4, he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Isaiah 53, verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Note that he learned to obey, as if he learned what it was to obey. Likewise, believer, the Lord allows, permits his people to suffer in times of affliction. Afflictions that we may never be able to speak of. Afflictions that may remain. Afflictions that may affect us personally, may affect our home life. Maybe the offense in your life, they seem like a gale force winds. Things are flying at you. Things are coming at you from all around you, at all angles. And you keep them close to your heart. You don't accuse God, but certainly the thoughts play on your mind. Why is all this coming into my life? Like Joseph, you've been living for God. You've been honoring the Lord, yet you experience a time of suffering. And as I said, God has many reasons for the suffering, the afflictions in the lives of his people. But always remember this, in all the sufferings and afflictions, it will always be for our good and God's glory, that we will see the Lord's love and his goodness. Again, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, when ye do well and suffer for it, take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. At the cross, through Christ's suffering, God demonstrated his love towards sinners. God had a purpose for the sufferings of Christ. It was to die as the sinner's substitute. It was for him to go and purchase his own people. God had a purpose for Joseph's sufferings. Yes, to save the nation. But what is amazing, this. In prison, there were two people that Joseph met. The butler and the baker. And they, as we will look at in times later, there's a wonderful picture of them in all of this as well. It's no mistake that these two men are there with Joseph, brought in with Joseph, because there God will use one of them to get Joseph out of prison and then right before Pharaoh. And so God led Joseph this way for a purpose. I know, believer, God may send you to the hospital, may send you to the accident and emergency. God may send you to a particular job, a particular bus stop, a particular place at a certain time. Someone may be in need at a certain time, whatever it may be. But God has a purpose for it. Because whenever the butler and the baker were in the jail, Joseph delivered a message, one of life and one of death. Because one of them would be spared and one of them would die. And so it's no coincidence, no mistake that you're brought here today, because there's a message of life. There's life in the risen Lord. There's life in Jesus Christ. But there's also a message for those who die without Christ, a message of condemnation. And so make sure today that you are in Christ. Notice also, finally and briefly, Joseph's time in prison is painful because of the sorrows he expressed. As stated between Genesis chapter 39, verse 20, chapter 40, verse 30, and Psalm 105, verse 18, Joseph is bound, he's afflicted, he's enduring the shame. We read again in Psalm 105, verse 18, those words, he was laid in iron. And as we said, it means his soul came in or onto iron. And we said that it relates to Hebrew imagery, Hebrew poetry. It is a word that speaks of grief and sorrow of heart. The imagery is to feel as if a literal iron bar went through him. And that's what this imagery is suggesting. As if an iron bar literally went through him. And maybe you have heard the expression, or you have heard a feeling described this way. It cut me like a knife. Or someone has spoken to you in a harsh word, or a harsh manner. And you would say, their words just cut me like a knife, went right through me. Couldn't believe that. And you've heard that expression before. Also as well, you may have heard other expressions, or maybe you know similar expressions. It went right through me. And you are using that to say, it caused me sorrow, it caused me hurt. And that's the idea. Joseph is bearing shame. Joseph is suffering. And now he has sorrow of heart. He is humiliated, despised, rejected, and afflicted. And yet, he is the innocent man. Again, we think of one greater than Joseph, our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, who Isaiah 53 verses 3 to 4 say, he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26 verse 38, Christ prayed, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even on to death. Therefore, Jesus Christ is our man of sorrow, and he is our sorrow and comfort. Jeremiah could write in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 55, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. And maybe just in closing, that's how you feel. Sorrow of heart, in a low dungeon, in a dark place, in a discouraging place. I say to you, take it to the Lord in prayer. Like Jeremiah, call upon the name of the Lord in the low dungeon. Like Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Like Martha, as she said to Mary, in her sorrow of heart, in John 11, verse 28, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Because Joseph, when he was in sorrow of heart, the Lord, we read in verse 20, we read onwards, it says there that, but the Lord was with Joseph. He had the presence of the Lord with him in his time of suffering, in his time of humiliation, in his time of sorrow, in his time of grief. The Lord was with Joseph. And therefore, believer, when you go through your time of prison experience in your life, individually, as a family, in the workplace, in school place, whatever it may be, and you go through suffering, and you go through sorrow, and your heart is breaking, you should know that the Lord is with you, and the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. But in that, God is working out his purpose in your life to draw you to himself for his own honor and his own glory, that you will see a sight of Christ that you had not known before, as we will look on in this scene when Joseph's in prison. He had a view of the Lord. He knew the presence of the Lord. He knew the blessing of the Lord. And therefore we pray that God's hand will be upon us. But what about you today? Are you saved? When you go through the prison of life, do you have a refuge? Who do you turn to? What do you turn to? I say, turn to Jesus Christ, because he is the answer. Look to Christ, because Joseph looked to the Lord in his name's sake. Amen.